Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good evening and welcome. I'm not Bruce Musselman. I'm Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Bruce here today. Bruce had some things come up and he's doing okay, but he just had some things come up and he was unable to be here for the program, had to take care of those things. So pray for him and Lord willing, he'll be back with you again next week. But I'm glad to be sitting in. I'm Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, setting in for Bruce Musselman, and frequently I'm here with him also helping out with some different things, and so I just want to remind you that you can go online and you can visit the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find out a little bit more about Bruce Musselman. And I just want to take a few moments, actually, just to tell you a little bit more about the website. Usually, I just mention it and mention a few things that are on there. But there's a little bio piece on Bruce Musselman there, and you can see that, a little bit of his background there. And also, there's some other material by Bruce Musselman there on the website. And one of them is kind of the article that got all of this started. And there's a short article called Correcting the King James Bible. That's called Correcting the King James Bible. And years ago, Bruce had that in a little pamphlet form. And I remember having that, seen that many years ago. And I'm not sure that there's any of them around. And there were a couple of spots where it was actually located, at least parts of it, on the internet. And so a couple of years ago, we were able to get the complete copy, and we got it posted online. And so if you go to whereisgodsword.com, that's whereisgodsword.com, you can check out Bruce Musselman's article that kind of got him started on this, Correcting the King James Bible. And that'll be a blessing to you. And it kind of gives you a little bit of where Bruce is coming from with the program here. So that's an important thing. Kind of talks about how he got started on this. And so you'll enjoy reading that. If you like listening to Bruce Musselman on the program, let me encourage you to go to whereisgodsword.com, and you can look at Correcting the King James Bible there. Also, something else that you can find there is there's a message on there where Bruce Musselman is preaching on the history of the Bible and the Baptists. And he was at a conference where he was preaching. Have a link to that on there. You can watch him as he preaches and teaches on the history of the Bible and the Baptists. And there's also another program, I think it's just an audio clip, where he's preaching a message called We Faint Not from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so you can hear those. And Bruce Musselman, some of you know, also sings. He used to do a lot of singing in his past, and he still does. I was at, not too awfully long ago, a missions banquet at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, where Pastor Annie Rusnacko is there. And Bruce Musselman was there, and he had his guitar with him, and he sang a song, and he also sang a song with another gentleman that was there. Brother Jim Jones as well from Cleveland Baptist Church was there with him, and they sang together. But if you go to whereisgodsword.com, you can listen to Bruce Musselman sing a couple of songs that are on there. We've got some on there. And so let me encourage you, if you want to go there, plus you can also find at the same website some information on, well, the resources that he mentions from time to time. There's links there, so you can check that out, some of the various resources. There's also MP3 files that you can have as a podcast of some of these programs, and you can go there and check them out as well. And I encourage you to do that. So usually I just mention it in passing, but I just wanted to spend a few moments here today at the start of the program since Bruce is not here, trying to just give you some of this information here. And you can even write to Bruce Musselman. If you want to write to him, you can write to him at Bruce Musselman, Post Office Box 609-238. That's Post Office Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio. Zip code is 44109. That's Bruce Musselman, Post Office Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio. Zip code 44109. And also there's a link to the Manaway Baptist or Country Baptist Church that sponsors the program on the website as well. And if you're out there in the toward Portage County, out in that direction, northern Portage County, you can check them out at the Manaway Country Baptist Church. All right, well, let's see. I wanted to touch on something else here. This program here, Bruce asked me to fill in for him, and I was thinking something to talk about here, and was thinking about in Genesis chapter 3 as sort of a jumping off point here. In Genesis chapter 3, there's a statement, and we've referred to this from time to time on the program, and Bruce has talked about it, but I want to use it kind of as a statement here. And this is in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And this is where the devil in the form of the serpent is tempting Eve. And the first thing he says there is, "Yea, hath God said." Now this comes back to something that I've talked about, and of course, myself as pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, we've talked about this at our church, and also I did not mention earlier, I do have a radio program that's also here on 1220 AM, AM 1220 The Word, and every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, we have a live program, Live with Pastor Al, where we have questions and answers about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Certainly invite you to tune in to listen to that. But as we come here in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1, this dovetails with a question that I ask people from time to time. We talk about fundamentals of the faith. Another way to put it would be essential elements of biblical Christianity. These are things that you have to have in order for Christianity to be what the Bible says that it is. And I'll ask people on occasion, what do you think the most important or the most fundamental element of our faith is, the most essential element of our faith is? And I'll get answers sometimes, that Jesus is God or God exists or different things like that, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins, Jesus was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus ascended up into heaven. He's coming back for us. And I get all kinds of things that will be suggested. And I say, but what is the most essential element? What is the most fundamental part of our faith? And usually, as we start talking about it, I'll try to get people to see and understand that the most fundamental part to our faith, the most essential element of biblical Christianity, is precisely that the Bible is the Word of God. And that is so essential because if the Bible is not the Word of God, if we do not have God's Word, then how do we know that Jesus is God? How do we know that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins? How do we know that he was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death? How do we know that he ascended into heaven, and much less, how do we know that he's coming back for us one day? How do we know that heaven exists? How do we know that hell exists? How do we know that God exists? Well, we know all of that because of the Word of God. Now, there's things that can suggest that God exists, and certainly many people are familiar with in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 19, the Bible there in Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, and so as a result, we have evidence that God exists that we can see But here's the thing. How do we know who he is? How do we know what he is? How do we know that Jesus is God? And it all comes down to the Word of God. And that's why I read there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. The very first thing that the devil attacked was the Word of God, because that is so essential. If the Bible is not the Word of God, then we have no biblical basis for our belief. Now, that kind of sounds obvious, but it's not obvious to a lot of people. A lot of people think, well, you know, the Bible could have been written by men, but, you know, as long as it's got generally good things and spiritual sounding things, we can sort the chaff out of it and the wheat from the chaff and things like that. But this statement here that's attributed to the devil, as he appeared in the guise of the serpent to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." And that's part of the basis for Bruce Musselman's program here, "Where is God's Word?" He wants people to understand that we do have the Word of God and that he's preserved it in it, and we have it in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, this is important because not only did the devil attack God's Word and wonder whether or not we actually have God's Word, he then went to another thing. We go toward the other end of the Bible, and this is a passage in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 7. I'm going to read here actually verses 7 and 8. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Actually, I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 here. Now, the Bible says this, 1 John chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. "For this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, or in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." Now, this is an important passage here for a variety of reasons, but let me just share what's happened here. Remember, Satan's first attack was to say to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Is what you remember what God really said? Remember, he was asking her, she was there in the Garden of Eden, and she asked him, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And back in Genesis 3 and verse 2, it says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for in the day, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, first thing he did was cause them to doubt God's word, and then he turns around and denies God's word. And of course, Eve had kind of added a little bit to what God had said, and that's a problem too, because God had said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." He didn't say that if you touched it you would die. He said in the day that you eat it you would die. And the devil said, "Oh, you won't surely die." So now, of course, let me just add this in there. When they ate, they did immediately die. They died spiritually, and then the curse was placed on them in later in chapter 3, and they began to die physically. Eventually, they died physically. They aged, and then they died. So the death began immediately. Spiritual death occurred immediately when they were cut off from God. But let me get back to now in 1 John chapter 5, and here's what we see. We see another fundamental truth. First, in Genesis, the fundamental truth of God's word has been attacked by the devil and then denied by the devil. In 1 John chapter 5, we have this clear statement of the witness of God that we have. And that's why I read in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7 through 10, or I'm sorry, 6 through 10, where we have talking about the witness of Jesus Christ. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about Jesus Christ here, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And so talking about the truth of Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood, he had the physical birth, before birth, the water breaks. And then we have blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross there. And so he's talking about Jesus and what he accomplished. And so the devil wants to attack this as well. And so he says in verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This is a very clear presentation of Jesus Christ as God. This is a very clear presentation of what we refer to the Trinity, or the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. We have one God who appears in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I mean by the attack here. Modern versions, and Bruce has pointed this out, change the statement here, this clear statement. I'm going to read the same three verses, 6, 7, and 8 here. And it says this in the New International Version. I'm holding that here. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. And that's it. That whole statement about there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, it switches over from there at the end of verse 6 and jumps down to basically verse number 8 there. Now, to be fair, they put a parenthesis here. They put a parenthesis, or I'm sorry, not a parenthesis, but a footnote. And on the footnote, and a lot of people never read the footnotes, but if you look at the footnote, it says this: late manuscripts of the Vulgate test, and then it gives the reading of late manuscripts of the Vulgate, and it gives the reading, testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one, and there are three that testify on earth. And then it says in parentheses, not found in any Greek manuscript before the 16th century, which is not true, and they knew it wasn't true when they wrote that, but they put that there anyway. Now, what did they just do there? They just said, yea hath God said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Yea hath God said that. They just echoed what the devil said in Genesis chapter 3. And they also echoed what the devil said when he said, ye shall not surely die. They denied the truth of that scripture as well when they put their little thing in parentheses saying, not found in any Greek manuscript before the 16th century. Now, I don't have the time to go into all the different details of the history of this. There are some good materials, and if I can, I'm going to try and post an article. It prints out to about 27 pages that goes into a defense of this word being there. But basically, one of the things that he found in this article, as he's defending this statement that the New International Version translator said doesn't appear in any of the early Greek manuscripts, and in fact doesn't appear before the 16th century, he admits in there that people say it only occurred in a few later ones, and that what happened was that Tertullian, he writing, one of the early church fathers, was writing that some manuscripts had taken this out. Well, it had to be, some of the Greek manuscripts had taken this out. Well, it had to be in the Greek manuscripts in order to be taken out. You don't take something out that's not there. And so he was writing that people in the first century, I believe, or thereabouts, and that people were taking it out. I'm sorry, the second century, I think it was. Tertullian was right around the end of the second century, I believe, going into the third century, right around late 100s, early 200s. I'm trying to think offhand exactly when he was writing there. But in that time frame, he's pretty close to it. And he was complaining well before the 16th century that some people were taking this out of the Greek manuscripts. So how can you take something out that's not there? So like I said, we have in Genesis chapter 3, the devil saying, yea, hath God said, causing Eve to doubt God's word, and then when she tried to remember it without actually going back to what God actually said, and she kind of got it wrong, and then he outright denied God's word. And then we see the same format in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7 here, actually 6, 7, and 8, in this passage here. So where the people here who are using the work of Westcott and Hort from the late 1800s, two men who both rejected the deity of Christ, a fundamental faith, a fundamental of the faith, an essential element of biblical Christianity. They both rejected the blood atonement. In fact, one of them in a letter to the other called it a heresy. And they rejected the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, basically, these men were heretics themselves. I guess you could call them apostates, but they were certainly teaching heresy. And they tried to change the Bible, came up with a manuscript that is sort of the granddaddy manuscript of the New International Version. And you can see that the version reflects their feeling, which also reflects the feelings of the devil, who would want us to doubt the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why if the Mormons come knocking on your door and you try to tell them that you believe that Jesus is God, and they'll smile and tell you, oh, no, he's not. He's a created being. They actually believe he's Michael the Archangel, though they don't always like to tell you that right away. And if you use this passage in 1 John chapter 5, they'll say, oh, that's a spurious passage. Well, I was looking at this one time, and let me just give you something real quick here. I'll just run through this because I just got a couple of minutes left in the program. But there are some versions of the Bible, and yes, these are not Greek, but they certainly predate the 16th century, and they were translations made from Greek manuscripts, and that's the old Syriac of 170 AD, the old Latin of 200 AD, the Vulgate that was written in the 4th and 5th centuries, and the Italic in the 4th and 5th centuries. These all had this statement in here. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then Tarsian in the year 150 wrote about and quoted it. Tertullian quoted it in 200. Cyprian quoted it in 225. Athanasius quoted it in 350, and so on. There's people who wrote about it in different capacities down through the ages. And it's interesting. If they didn't have it also until the 16th century, where did Wycliffe come up with it when he put together his English Bible translation in 1380? Where'd Tyndale come up with it when he put together his in 1525? It was in those predate, well, I guess 1525 would be the 16th century, but hadn't been there long. But certainly Wycliffe in 1380, he predates the 16th century. Well, you know, the critics of John 3 or of 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 seem to have an awful lot in common with the devil's reasoning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 and following, where they caused people to doubt the word of God. Oh, it wasn't there. Or some manuscripts add this. Is it really a part of the Bible? And then to outright deny the word of God. There were no Greek manuscripts that this is found in before the 16th century. Well, you need to be careful. You need to be aware of what you're reading. Study these things out and keep listening to Bruce Musselman's program. And we're about out of time here. And let me just remind you to join us again next week. Remind you again to check out Bruce Musselman's website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And I hope you'll keep listening. I'm sure Bruce will be back with us again next week as he continues to explore the Word of God with you. So pray for him, pray for his health, pray for his program, and I want to thank you for listening to us. And I'll continue to be here, hopefully, Lord willing, helping out with some science segments. We'll be adding something, looking at one hopefully here in the next week or two dealing with why do the leaves change color and fall off the trees, and can we find something in the Bible that reflects that? So I'll give you that to think about. Well, thanks again, and I'm glad to have been able to be with you this week. God bless, and have a great week.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.